Welcome back to Shoujo, your favorite podcast. You have no choice. If you listen to us by default, we're the best one you have, so we must be your favorite. I'm Sarah, your Shoujo expert slash just watched a lot of it. And I am joined, as always, by Joe, my good friend and the Shoujo newcomer, although we have a few under our belt now. So, and Joe's the one who's going to be bringing us the deeper thoughts. And
is that what I'm going to be doing?
And I'm just like, everyone's so hot. And
that's part of the experience. Yes. I don't think you should take away. That's a big part of the Shoujo experience, is that people are hot.
Yeah, I guess so. We're both a little not under the weather necessarily, but both have afflictions that are possibly going to make our voices sound a little different than normal.
Yeah, you can tell it's the end of winter, and you can tell because I'm getting sick. I either have allergies or a sinus infection. Jury's still out because it's only been like this for like 4 days.
Oh, well, that's a long time. I've never had a sinus infection, so I cannot tell you what the sinus.
They last for about 10 days. So if it stops after 10 days, then it was probably a sinus infection. If it continues indefinitely, then it's an allergy. Isn't it fun? Gotcha. Isn't it fun to exist? I like all these people I know are like, I love nature. I love going outside. It's like rejuvenating for me. Don't you just love it, Joe? And every time I go outside, I'm like, no, I get like, I take damage from something, like some awful thing keeps happening to me. Like I just get random allergies, or like I get bit by a bug. I don't see what people get out of it, to be honest. I think maybe they should grow up. That's my official stance.
I think
on going outside.
If I live somewhere more tolerable heat wise, I would enjoy being outside more. But because it's just the worst thing ever to step outside most of the time here in Texas, that I hate the outdoors. But maybe deep down, I'm super outdoorsy and I just don't belong here and I should be somewhere cold.
That's true. You could just be like horribly unfulfilled. You ever thought about that? Where it's like you're living your life
very
and for
much
years
so.
It's just been wasted because you haven't gotten to experience going outside, not in 100 degree heat.
Yes. All the time, constantly thinking about it.
You should free yourself.
I literally say I can't reach maximum happiness unless it's like majority of the year. It's like even if I'm happy, it's not as happy as I could be if it was colder outside. So it's like I gotta get out of here.
You gotta get out of there.
Yeah, I do. Hopefully within the next year, we'll see. I think the rules. Like I may be, the reins may be loosening at work and I may be able to move somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
So I know, right? What if I, and my mom, every time I mention it to my mom, she's like, you'll never make it without your family. And I'm like, that just makes you want to do it more and prove you wrong.
Yeah, I get that spite motivation.
Yeah. I
always
literally
good.
Have a patch on my car that says fueled by spite.
There it is.
Other than the ailments, what's going down in Joe land?
Okay. So last week, we're just going to talk about current events a little bit. Someone, I don't know who it was, decided to put on massive tariffs on everything and thus has, caused me to expedite I'm like, I should buy everything I need for the next year and a half. Right now, before they run out of stock and have to import it. So I have been buying stuff, including the entirety of the Rose of Versailles manga, which I now have. I have not looked at any of it yet, but I do have them. So I've looked at the covers. So
that's
we are very
exciting.
Excited about that. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I'm trying to think of what else I should buy real quick. I guess I should buy a lot
now
of alcohol.
I'm thinking I need to.
Oh, like, this is deranged. Them? You don't need to do this. I don't think this is going to. I mean, this is a thing where they could just like call off tariffs tomorrow and I will have just wasted a bunch of money for no reason. But I did buy a sound bar because yesterday. Oh, my God. I've had such a busy every day of my life. Yesterday, I had people over to watch The Matrix 2 and 3. which is Reloaded and Resolution. Or Revolution? I don't know.
Revolution, I think.
Okay. And I was watching those movies because I am trying to convince my friends that those movies are good, and they have not seen the Matrix movies in a long time. And having watched them again, those movies are good, but too many action sequences. I am actioned out after watching those action sequences. But it's a very good movie still. I still like it. I like The Matrix. I think it's good. I like the power of choice and love and hope and all of those things. Which might be resonating now a little bit more than they have been in the past for reasons that might be related to the first thing I said. So that was good. And then immediately after that, I went and hung out with some friends, and they showed me, they had me play. Well, first they showed me Xenosaga in preparation for me to play Xenoblade Chronicles 3. So I played
is a Switch game?
It's a Switch game. Yeah. So this is like a long-standing series. Okay, I've seen that
around. Yeah.
The Xenosaga series. Because there was like Xenosaga is like a franchise, I guess, of like games that are like only somewhat related to each other. And in those, there are like different, like there's the Xenoblade games, there's the Xenoblade Chronicles ones and some other things like that. They had me play number 3. Which is the most recent one. It's on a Switch, and it has weird MMO combat that I'm not so sure I'm on for. But I gave it a shot, and it's pretty fun. So maybe I am on board. We'll see. The first games are like turn-based RPGs, which I hate, but I play so many of them that it will just roll off of me. Because I can overcome any hardship to play video games. So I'm about to wrap up. I'm in the last act of Gears of War Tactics, and that will be it for Gears of War for me. I will have played every Gears of War game. So I could always pick up another franchise, you know? Maybe it's Xenosaga. Yeah.
Speaking of Switch, what are your thoughts on the Switch 2 and the Switch $90 2? Price?
Well, besides the fact that it's going to cost a bajillion dollars, it seems fine. I think turning the Wii remotes into mice, like a mouse, is interesting. That's kind of fun, I guess.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I don't think I would go out of my way for any of those games.
None of the Nintendo, except for Pikmin, which I wouldn't buy a new console for, but like that's the only Nintendo property that I, or IP that I actually, oh, here we go with the voice.
It's getting you too.
It's a disaster podcast. You know, Mario, freaking, I don't know, Donkey Kong, any of that stuff is not going to do it for me. And then also, I have a Steam Deck now. So, like, if it's available on Steam, I will play it on that rather than Switch. So, and they're going to have releases be on both for a bit, right? So, if it is Switch exclusive, I can still play it on my Switch. Or no, like, $90 is insane. And also, I don't care about From Software enough to play whatever that new game
is. The PvPvE game. Let's go. Player versus player versus engine. I will wait to see what that is like. I don't know. The cost of this is absurd for how many games I have in my backlog.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I could just do that for like the next 5 years, honestly.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Metroid Prime, I played the first Metroid Prime. I played like 10 minutes of Metroid Prime 2, and I'm like, maybe I'm good. It just doesn't, I don't know. Nintendo games just don't click for me as much. I am excited about Kirby Air Ride 2, maybe. That's fun. But I don't know. I don't think I'd like drop like $400 for any of these things.
Nah.
It just doesn't feel like the move, you know?
Yeah. Oh, he just saw my cat. It's been super on me the last few days, and I'm like, sometimes I think I'm allergic, and I've mentioned that before. And not only am I already feeling like a little allergy, whatever, but that just made it worse, I think.
It's deteriorating. Watch us deteriorate on episode whatever of Shoujo. What is this, like 58 or something?
Something like that. My voice is already so nasally. It's just going to be even worse.
It's going to be brutal. I'm sorry, everyone. The Sonic Experience listeners, but you're just going to have to push through it.
Goodness.
Yeah, I'm trying to. And then I some of my friends are like going out to bars or whatever. Like they go to like some of my friends that go out and like party and do stuff will often end the night at a bar near me. So I'm like, oh, you should just like text me. And it's like, you know, depending on what time it is, maybe I'll go hang out. And they text me at like 1 a.m. and they're like, come out to this bar. And I'm like, yeah, I told you guys to do this, so I guess I should go. But then we ended up going to one that was further away and I ended up staying out that bar closed. So I stayed until like 2:30 a.m. for like the second night in a row.
Closing out the bar.
Oh man, it's brutal. I just keep doing things because I have all like my friends are just like, oh, come out, we're doing this thing. And I'm like, I'm supposed to say yes to social things so I don't become a hermit.
At least you have that option.
That's true.
Because I'm like, I'm going to die alone if I never go outside of my apartment. I'll never meet someone. But also, it's like, do I want to meet someone who's that's what they're what they do for fun when it's not what I do for fun, typically?
Yeah. Okay. You just got to do it. Sometimes you just got to do it. All right. And just not get any sleep.
To have friends first. And freaking prowling lady from that meetup I went to has not yet.
You can facilitate this. God. You can make this happen. I believe in you. But yeah, like I stayed up late on Friday too because I was hanging out with some friends, and then it was like late, and I convinced one of my friends to play Ana Dream Barbecue, the video game called Ana Dream Barbecue, which is very good and weird. And I get so excited anytime I get my friends to try this weird thing I'm into. So I had to stay up and watch her play like half of it, and I ended up staying up till like 2 again.
I get no sleep.
So. That's been my life. I get no sleep and I'm constantly busy, but I don't ever feel like I'm making any productive progress on anything. So, running on that treadmill, running on that hedonic treadmill, just always staying in place.
I was going to say, what does hedonic mean?
Hedonistic. I don't know. Something about happiness. It's like that. It's like the it's like a psychology term or whatever about like how your happiness doesn't increase with like achievement necessarily. Like when you achieve something, you're like temporarily happy and then you like reset to whatever your baseline is. So instead of thinking life is like a continual gradual, I'm getting happier over time. It's mostly just kind of staying the same. Like you're on a treadmill.
Okay. That makes that sounds right.
I probably didn't describe that very well, but I think it's something along the lines of that. I think about that concept all the time. The good news is that
you're such a deep thinker.
It also works in reverse. So anytime bad things happen, you'll usually reset to your baseline. So bad things are it's like what? Like 6 months later, the things that are bothering you probably won't even matter. I tell myself that a lot in the moment when like something really bad happens to me. I'm like, you know, I bet in 6 months I won't even remember this happened, or I just won't really care about it. It'll be a distant memory. And that usually is true.
Nice. No, I feel like I don't know. I don't think I have a massive ego, but also I'm just like, oh, everyone's just going to think of that when they think of me if they witness that bad thing.
Oh.
And I'll just think that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well,
okay, so your life
you?
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm tired.
Mine's been like the reverse where I like, well, I had a 3-day weekend. I had Friday off since it was first Friday, which is a great thing. If you have a company, I think having the first Friday of a month is a great like perk. It's just one day of the month and it's really lovely. What have I been doing? I wrote down so I could say I did things. Okay, first off, got a home for the dog. So he's out of here.
Nice.
So it's just me, Cricket, and Moxie again. It's super chill now. And I did a deep clean, like Friday was half napping, half like deep cleaning my entire apartment. So now it's all clean and it's all calm. And but in that calmness now I'm like, okay, what am I doing with myself now? Let's see, I started playing that Repo game a little bit and it's not as scary as I thought it would be, but I think like with the right, and I've played a little bit with other people, I think with like we should get the server to try it. It's only $10, but it's like a fun game with friends. I'm like the last survivor a lot of the time, which doesn't mean I'm good. It just means I was probably hiding and everyone else got killed and then I had to do something. Let's see. I also started up Children of Zodiacs. I think that's the name. on my Switch. I literally only played like the first little encounter, but it's like a turn-based strategy or like Fire Emblem or something.
Oh, a tactics, like a tactics game?
Yeah.
Like a grid-based tactics game.
Yeah, I like those a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, there's this thing on Thursday night, like, I don't know if you remember or if you ever went to Mozart's, but it's like this place on the lake that's a coffee joint, but
yeah,
they were mm-hmm. having a like movies on the lake night.
Oh,
playing Jurassic Park. So I was like, okay, I have to go.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, so I went with a friend and we got like a little like conjoined two-seater floaty thing. And it was at night and freaking water was cold. And then uh-huh. the whole time I was just like shivering, my teeth are chattering. And it was,
oh my God,
like, so cold. So cold. But like, it was fun. It was fun. No, but it was like so cold. It's very distracting when you're cold. Because yeah. the last time I did something like this was when The Meg came out and Alamo Drafthouse had done like a movie on the lake thing. And at least the seats from this Jurassic Park one had like a mesh under it, so you weren't entirely in the water. But for the Meg, it was like just fully in the water.
Yeah.
Hanging off your floaty. And it's so cold. Yeah. Like, why are we doing this so early in the year? Let's do this like when it's tolerable at night in the summer or something. Because it's so hard to focus when you're so cold.
Yeah, that would be hard. Endurance movie.
Yes. At least it's the movie. And then floaty kept like been like moving in the water. And there was like this little rope that we were just like clenching our toes on to keep us in place. And it was like a whole like work together to stay oriented towards the screen.
it's like a challenge building. Mode. It's like watching a movie normally yeah. is so boring. What if you had to like do a little task and also do a little endurance while doing it?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be yes. fun? Was so it like fun. Was it sold out? Was there a bunch of people or
there's a lot of people? Well, because right, you could do like the free seating on the deck, or if you got like a because you could either do a tube or a paddleboard. And I was like, a paddleboard doesn't sound very comfortable to sit on for like the duration of a movie. And also I've never been on a paddle board, so I don't have confidence. No one wiped out though, so it was good. Let's see. What else? Oh, and okay. And then I learned I had to my sister asked me to make the little invite graphic for her bachelorette trip. So I did. And it had like night themes. So you're going to be there a certain number of days. And one was lingerie. One was pink and one was sparkles. And I was like, what the hell is lingerie? We're not having to wear lingerie at this thing, are we? And then and my friend explained to me that it was like everyone buys lingerie for the bride and she like tries them on and this and that. And I was like, okay, I had no idea this is the thing. Will my sister be able to tell if I get lingerie off a sale rack, you think? Like mine won't be the best, right? So I'll just get her something and then all her friends will pick cuter ones.
Uh-huh. Okay. I've never heard of this like, either,
that's
really.
I know. That's a thing, I guess.
They don't do this at bachelor parties, is what
no.
I'll tell you.
Oh, that's well. I wonder that the bachelor parties you're going to are like typical.
We're not buying the boys boxers and having them try it on, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, maybe what have you done on your bachelor trips?
What did we do?
How many have you?
Let's see. One time I went to Vegas. I mean, mostly it's like you go somewhere and just like do some stuff at that place. Like, I don't think there's any like structured thing I've done activities. Every single time. You know what I mean? Like there's no, I don't think it's like a bachelor party tradition that like, oh, everybody has to do this part.
Well, people just think of like going to a strip joint as like the thing that you do on a bachelor trip. But yeah, I feel like even that isn't that common.
No, I've never done that.
I've never been to a strip club. I kind of want, I don't know, but it's like
I haven't either.
Opportunity will never come up to, I don't know.
I've been to clubs that have like dancers. That's about as close as you get, but that's like not.
I know. I went to one. I was scandalized. I was like, oh my gosh.
You're scandalized. Oh man.
Basically, this was years ago. I cut loose. I'm, you know, yay. Take what your mama gave you. Let's see. I think that's a. Oh, and then we had this cool thing come out in the game. It was like our little April Fool's thing. Because every April Fool's, I think I've been the one making the thing for it, where the first year we were like jokingly doing like money, like walkabout bucks or something is like our, oh, we're going to have in game microtransactions or something was our April Fool's. And then we did like a this game, this course Upside Town had come out, and it was like a lot more divisive than we thought. And so we were like, April Fools, are making a second one of those that a lot of people didn't like. And then this year it's and then last year it was like, you guys want legs for your avatars in game. So we just made like little legs that stick out of the avatar head instead of like where they would be. And these have all just been like fictional, like make a graphic to like show, but it's not actually in the game. But this year we did put it in the game, and it's called, because like we have grip to putt, where you like hold the grip so that you don't accidentally hit the ball when you're putting. But we've done grip to puppet, where you like can hold your thing and then a sock puppet will be on your hand and you can make the mouth move and stuff.
Oh, that's really good.
So that's like a, yeah, that's so that's really been fun. That's in the game right now. It was a cute little kind of droopy looking sock puppet. So that's been a fun thing that came out. And yeah, that's what I have been up to.
Yeah.
There.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. Yep. See, you're making it sound like you don't do anything. That's a lot of stuff.
Well, that's because I had to specifically write down this stuff.
I feel like I need to do that. Just like, because I'll get to the end of the week, I'm like, I don't think I did anything at all this week. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I watched 4 movies this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have never.
Oh, and
that.
I started watching the first season of Survivor. I was like,
the first.
The very first one.
Do they have to have,
like
long sections where they explain the rules for the first time and everyone's like, wow, the rules?
No, not well, they have like little pre-recorded segments, which they don't have nowadays, but like, you know, every whatever, they gotta do a reward challenge, this and that, and but it's not too long. But it's weird because like Jeff Probst, the host, is so young. This is like 25 years ago, and now he's
Has he been hosting it the whole time?
Yes!
Stable
We're on season
gig.
48 right now.
Stable job. For real. That's a good
They
gig
do
to
like
get.
A podcast with it now that he does too. I don't know what he was doing. Like, what are people doing beforehand before they become a host? Like, I remember the host of The Biggest Loser used to be on like Days of Our Lives or some soap opera like that. And then she became the host of that.
Well,
Julie Chen from Big Brother used to be a newscaster, so I guess just some kind of like what?
The guy who does Family Feud. It's Drew Carey, right? Or not Family Feud? The Price is Right. He was a comedian. Before that,
okay, yeah. Well, I know about him. He was dating this chick who was like a sex therapist, and they had broken up, and then she ended up getting murdered by like a stalker or something.
I did not know that.
These are the fun facts that I know is horrible things. That's all I know about that guy.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Moving on to our show. We should talk about the show. Yep. Hey, a lot of stuff happens in these episodes that I was not expecting to have happen.
Real.
It took some turns here in some ways.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So
exciting
let's,
stuff.
Let's go. The Rose of Versailles, episode 28, is called Andre, a Green Lemon, which I guess means it's not ripe.
Okay, I was gonna say, I don't know what green
or
lemon
is. Too
well,
ripe?
I wasn't sure if it was
it's not ready.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand this. Is this like a phrase? Should I look this up? Look this up while I'm giving the summary.
Okay.
We open on Andre struggling to see out of his good eye. His vision is very blurry. Elsewhere, Oscar searches for Andre but cannot find him, and Andre tells her to wait for him until his vision gets better as the OP plays. We return to some carriages rushing to Versailles. Count Fersen sees a commotion and asks what's going on, and we learn that the prince is sick and everyone is very nervous about it. Marie tells her son Joseph that it'll be okay. I'm sorry, it's Louis Joseph, just in case you were concerned about the fact that his name wasn't Louis, but we're going to call him Joseph. But a sick Joseph calls out to his dad instead of her. Marie tells him that his father will be there soon. She leaves and goes to the chapel. She prays and says that despite the fact that she spends every day with Joseph, he still calls out for his father. She asks if he is being punished for her sins, and she says that if she is forgiven, she will never see Fersen again. Right behind her in the doorway stands Fersen, who hears everything.
Did they change her voice actress? She sounds so different now. And she looks way more, she looks way older now. Like, she's not as, like, roundy face and, yeah. But her voice sounds different. I looked up Green Lemon.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, harvested before they're ripened. Yeah. It can also refer to a specific variety of lemon from Hiroshima, Japan, known for its intense fragrance and spicy flavor.
Okay, that actually makes sense.
Assuming it's, you think? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a Japanese show, so.
That's true. Yeah, so maybe that's what it's referring to.
Spicy. I don't know if it really makes sense again. Anyway, she's dumping Fersen for her sick boy.
They're not doing anything anyways.
Not that we know of.
They're just looking at each other.
It's true. Back at the Jarges, Andre is still struggling to see. Oscar comments that it looks like the prince has gotten better, and it was just a one-off thing. Surely he won't succumb to illness at age 9. Andre asks Oscar to spar because he's having trouble judging depth with his one eye. They spar and Oscar beats Andre handedly while he struggles to see properly. Fersen shows up and Oscar is very happy to see him.
Okay, pissing me off. Fersen, you suck. Crawling back to Oscar because you're feeling all down about Marie Antoinette.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like he has to know how she feels about him. So he's just a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're at.
I need some validation from somebody.
Uh-huh. Awful.
Yeah. Oscar and Fersen have a drink together. Fersen asks Oscar when the last time they saw each other was, and Oscar thinks about the dance they shared a couple of episodes back. Oscar asks Fersen how things are going for him, and he says he has no updates. So I guess we're not talking about this. They sit there and swirl their drinks in silence. Then Fersen
swirling
tells,
like savages.
They're like going like, hard with
not,
the swirls.
They're like holding it like not how you're supposed to hold a wine glass.
I don't know if it's what, because like it's like a brownish color, so I couldn't tell if it's like supposed to be
like, I
was
gonna say it looked
brandy
disgusting.
Or something, I don't know, or like port, I don't know, what do people drink?
It's in a wine glass,
and they're like airing it out. I don't think you need to air out those other things.
Well, you're supposed to hold it by like half the stem and the top part, but they're both just holding it on the top part, touching the stem at all.
Like a goblet.
It's weird. Yes.
Yeah. Then Fersen tells Oscar about that one ball he went to and danced with a woman that seemed very similar to him or to her. She's like, hey, you know anything about that, Oscar? Oscar stays silent and puts down her glass. Fersen suddenly reaches out and grabs her wrist, and Oscar flinches in the exact same way that she did during the dance. Fersen is like, I knew it. It was you, Oscar. And Oscar says nothing and instead runs off as Andre enters the room. Did he really come here just to start some shit?
Well, he said, like, because he didn't see the lady again. So it's like he had specifically been looking for this lady. But it's like, why are you looking for this lady when you're like devoted to Marie Antoinette and not going to give who you know to be Oscar a chance? The why?
Nope. Brutal. She runs out of the door. She runs out to the door of the horse stables. Fersen pursues. He tells her that maybe if he had known that she was a woman from the beginning, things might have worked out. And Oscar is like, sorry. Oscar is like, stop talking. Stop saying things to me, Fersen. She says that she's already come to terms with this. Then she says that there are two kinds of love in the world, a love filled with joy and a love filled with agony. Then Fersen, having just been dumped by Marie, says, no, there is only one kind of love. It's all agony. And they both start crying.
I'm just mad at Fersen. Why? If you had met her, you were blinded by Marie Antoinette's beauty.
Yep.
Like, I don't think if you had known Oscar was a woman, or like if Oscar had attended that masquerade ball dressed up as a lady next to Marie Antoinette, you think he would have picked her over her? I feel like, I don't know.
It's so weird that they're having this conversation about this when they're both available now.
Yes. Yeah. Stupid. Dumb.
But now it's over.
Makes me so mad.
Back. Oscar says that she knew that this would happen eventually. This is the end of them. Fersen tells Oscar again that she is his greatest friend, and she says she will remember as they both part ways. Oscar turns to watch him as he goes and prays for his good fortune. Oscar returns to the estate to clean things up because she like made a mess during her escape while the OP song plays. Montage!
Okay, I was like, why are we playing? That's like very Woo-hoo! Like season finale when you play the opening song at the... in the episode.
I mean, this is big stuff. This is like a season turning episode. Andre asks if she needs help, but she says no, and he leaves, but his eye starts acting up again. He falls, but can't get up this time. He reaches out for the light of a candle, and in his mind, he begs Oscar to help him.
So sad.
Later, Andre goes into the stable and trips. He gets it together, then rides off to the pub.
Terrible idea.
Off to drink my sorrows away. At the pub, several French guard soldiers are drinking and singing together. One of them sees the sad Andre and invites them to drink with them. We learn that this guy's name is Alain, and he's the de facto boss of these guys. Andre joins them, and they all sing together. Later at the pub, everyone is drunk. Alain tells Andre that today is payday, so they're gonna go wild. Unlike the Royal Guard, the French Guard is made up of commoners who are just doing this as a job. But they have to patrol the dangerous parts of Paris, so it's still like a fairly dangerous job. A ruckus breaks out, and everyone starts a pub brawl. Everyone gets sucked into it, including Andre, and they all have a good time wailing on each other.
No. Just property boys. Damage, like...
Oh, yeah.
Ban these people from your pub, man.
Dude, they go to this pub, like, the next day. They just know this is what happens. Later, Andre goes home drunk. He thinks to himself that no amount of drinking will return the light to him. One day he'll be blind and won't be able to see Oscar anymore. And he cries out in agony. Andre returns to the Jarjets manor to find Oscar waiting up for him by the fireplace. She scolds him for coming in late, and he asks if she's up because she couldn't sleep either. Oscar suddenly tells Andre that she's going to leave the Royal Guard.
Crazy.
We cussed a... What?
Crazy. Game changing.
I know, here we go. This is the big thing that changes. Yep. We cut to Oscar at Versailles, kneeling before a stunned Marie. Marie is like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? You're going to quit the Royal Guard? Like the cushy job you have? Why? Oscar says that she wants this one and only favor from Marie, but she isn't going to explain why she wants it. And Marie is like, that makes no sense. Is it me? Did I do something? You know how sometimes I do things and don't realize it? Is that what's happening here? I can just promote you if you just want to get promoted. But Oscar reassures her that she's going to stay loyal to Marie and this isn't about her. Marie's like, all right, fine. I'll grant you your wish. I'll find some other place to reassign you. Later, Oscar rides around on her horse while Andre watches. He wonders why Oscar would leave the Royal Guards. Is it because you can't stand to see Marie, the woman that Fersen loves? So what? You're just going to run away? Just like how Fersen ran away to America? You're going to do that, but switch jobs? You think it's that easy just to run away from things? If it were that easy, Oscar, I would have ran away from you forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
Andre and Oscar return to the stables. Oscar is like, hey, Andre, remember when we were kids and we used to mark our height on this part of the stable? And they see the little scratches of how tall they got. And she says that back then, she had just accepted that she was a boy. She never thought about things like love, you know, that womanly stuff. She was raised as a boy, so it makes sense that she would live the rest of her life as a man then. That's why she's going to leave the Royal Guards, she declares, to live like a man. She'll forget all of her womanly emotions and will focus only on the mission, like a true man does. I'll risk my life for duty and honor without love or romance. It'll be just like the good old days. Andre just looks on as she says this and then leaves.
A lot of stuff going down here. Boy, is she in for a surprise. There's not going to be a whole lot of honor and duty where she's going.
I think she's also going to be surprised by the fact that the men still engage in romance and love. I don't think that just ends.
Yep. Just reverting back. We're not just growing. Yeah. We're just going to revert back to.
Oh, no, this is hard cope. Like, what if I just threw myself into my job and didn't consider? What if I just do the extremely toxic masculinity thing where I just not think about my emotions, instead just cover them up forever? What if I never process anything for all time?
Got that part right about being a dude.
Yeah, it works out so well for them. Suddenly, Andre's vision blurs and he calls out to Oscar. Oscar returns, but Andre has recovered by them and acts as if nothing has happened. Because, boy, we don't want to see anybody. We don't want to be vulnerable in front of anybody, I guess. Back inside, Oscar is playing piano. Andre's lounging around when Granny asks him if he went to see the doctor. Andre says that he did go to see the doctor, but it was just to say thank you instead of, you know, going for an actual reason, which was to check on his eye. We get a flashback of the doctor's visit where the doctor tells him that, like, physically nothing should be wrong with his other eye. It shouldn't be like he shouldn't be losing vision in it or anything. Maybe it's just like strained or something because, you know, you're using it a lot for the first time. Andre just tries to get a drink, but Granny tells him to bring Oscar tea first.
I thought he was going to, like, break it, and then that was going to reveal his eye thing.
Oh, that he's
just
injured,
dump hot tea on Oscar or something.
Yeah, that would have been, and that probably would have been better than what does happen.
Yep.
Oh, man. Andre, let's see, takes the tea to Oscar. She takes it and tries to leave. Or no, Andre tries to leave, but she stops him. She tells him that she is going to live as a man from now on and can't rely on him anymore. So after she gets her transition changed to her post, what am I saying? She gets her new job. When she gets her new job, he's free to do whatever he wants. She wants to be totally independent now, so he doesn't have to keep following her around. Andre just watches on as Oscar walks into her bedroom. He follows and tells her that he has something to say. He says that a rose is a rose, whether it blooms red or white. Oscar turns as if he had just, like, cursed at her or, like struck her firstborn or something. He continues saying that a rose can never be a lilac. Oscar is incensed and gets in his face. She's like, what are you saying, Andre? You saying that I'll always be a woman? You don't think I could be a man just by getting a new job? He doesn't answer. So Oscar slaps him across the face and grabs him by the collar. She's like, answer me, damn it.
I'm like, dude, his eyeballs are sensitive. Don't be slapping that face.
Yeah, she slapped his bad eye side. Instead of answering her, he grabs her wrists and she's like, hey, let go. And then he forces himself onto her into, ooh, I guess, a kiss. Is that what he's doing here?
I think if it was a kiss, they would have shown it. I feel like it's unclear.
It's something like that. Yeah. He pushes her down on the bed. She says, stop or I'll scream. But then he rips her blouse. Both look on in horror at what is happening. Oscar turns her head, now tearing up, and asks Andre what he's going to do to her. He drops the ripped cloth and apologizes, saying that he swears to God he'll never do something like this again. He drapes a sheet over the now trembling Oscar and leaves, but repeats that a rose is a rose. Oscar, you will always be Oscar. I have yearned for you for 20 years. I love you. Or maybe I couldn't help but love you. And then walks off as we cut to credits.
Yeah, this was a crazy ending to an episode.
Is this a show for children? This is the most, like, this is like just no, like drama. Like, I would see this on like TNT or something. You know what I mean?
Say shoujo is like for like 12 to 18 maybe. It's not like they show anything, but like the implications are quite dark.
Oh yeah.
It's
a lot going on this episode.
Yeah. Do we hate Andre now? What is
do
happening?
We hate Andre now? This is certainly the worst way you could ever do anything, Andre. What? Yeah. Ooh, it's all agony. they really lean into like all love is agony. Actually, none of these people can behave. None of them can just get over things. What if you like just had to, what if you had to prove someone's gender by sexually assaulting them?
Oh, that's terrible. Well, right, was he like, oh God, why? I feel like none of the things she said would be like upsetting enough to him to make him go into like a blind, not, I don't know, rage, but like force, like I unnecessary level we're bringing it to. Uncomfy. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, so there's like the two different, I guess we should talk about the stuff in order, right? So like first thing gets abandoned.
Ugh.
And then he goes to Oscar, practically kind of like baiting her into, yes, like,
what, just to make himself feel better, like at least this? Somebody yeah. wants me or something.
She's like, not a rebound, because he's not going to do anything.
I wonder Oscar doesn't.
But he is going to bring it up.
It's just a dude of like, let's just be nothing. Let's not take any action in anything, but also at least make sure everyone else isn't comfortable as I am.
Right. So first, and giving nothing, doing nothing productive for anybody.
Nope.
Oscar's reaction to this is to basically be in denial about her feelings about things. And just like, I'm just not going to process this. I'm going to do the manly thing, which is to just distract myself for all time and never think about my feelings or never work through my feelings, because that's women's stuff. Only women think about love. Isn't that right, Andre? She says to him, basically.
Yeah, I like, just think about it. Person's not great. He kind of sucks. That would make it easier to get over if you just think about the situation and how he used you.
And then there's Andre, who is like, oh, I'm going blind in both eyes now for some reason, because the woman I love is so outside of my ability to have her that I'm going to lose that light forever as she decides to become a man and abandon me. And what other way can I express that than violently assaulting her as a thing that I want for myself?
Let me show you that you're a woman by exerting my male strength against you.
What is going on?
So you can't deny it.
Yeah, but like, why is she, do we think Andre can just overpower Oscar like that?
It's tough, right? Like, I mean, I guess if it's like going by the rules of swordsmanship and stuff and playing it fair, then that requires maybe more skill than just brute strength, but in maybe just in like sheer physical force, it's not. I don't know. Women are typically stronger in the legs than arms, and dudes are the opposite.
I know. But it's like the way that Oscar responds to this is very.
Maybe she's just more shocked that he's doing it.
It's got to be a shock response. It's because it's Andre. Like, if it was somebody else, because yeah. I mean, she kicks a guy's ass pretty handedly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But even like her just being stunned and being like, what are you going to do to me? Does not sound like a thing Oscar would say, but I guess it's the stunnedness, right? It's the escalation of the situation. It's the fact that she's in this position that she like shouldn't be in if she's a man. Right. But like, is not only this is happening with Andre, this is also flying in the face of what she is like declaring about herself.
Yeah. I think the solution would be Oscar accepts being a woman, but being a woman doesn't have to make you be a certain way. You can still be an individual and you choose who you are regardless of your gender, and just be like, I'm a badass woman and kick your ass, dude, and it doesn't matter that I'm a chick.
I mean, I feel like that's an extremely modern sensibility thing to have,
I guess, so
as opposed to like what's happening here. But yeah, I mean, that is the answer, right? Like, that is the where this arrives logically.
It's like, oh God, and we don't even see Andre necessarily express regret about that after the immediate
he apologizes that like he regrets it seems like.
Yes, but I feel like,
I mean, that doesn't make it right. That doesn't fix
I think my opinion of Andre is decreasing, because then these next episodes, we just very see that like he's not gonna leave her alone, and that's not a healthy thing to do if someone is very clearly not interested.
Whatever. Yeah, Andre's ability to deal with this, where he's just like, oh, what, you're going to run away, Oscar? I'm not going to run away. I'm going to get extremely drunk and then assault you, is not better.
Nope.
Is in no way any better. Like, there is a lack of self-awareness of, like, inability to process your feelings, that nobody is going to process them, and they're just going to wait till the last second for it to blow up. Because this happens because she tells him that she's going to be on her own. And that he's going to be by himself, like she's going to leave.
She said he doesn't have to, but I guess she should have stated, like, I do not want you to follow me. I want to be independent. Not that she's giving him an out to keep following him. So not that I think it would have changed how he's behaving if she had said, leave me alone.
No, yeah, but that's what I'm, yeah.
Anyways, okay, we're going to be on this forever.
Oh. It's because it's brutal. Icky. I mean, this is huge. Bro. This is like redefining everyone's relationship with each other.
Yep.
But I guess we'll go on to episode 30, where things do not really get that much better. Episode 30 is called A Doll Starting to Walk. We open on General Jarjay's looking for Oscar. He can't find her, and Andre tells him that she went on a ride. He asks Andre why she quit the Royal Guard, and Andre says he doesn't know, but also tells him that she has dismissed him as her aide. So he's probably not going to know. So maybe don't ask me about this.
This episode 29.
Oh, yeah, this is episode 29. I wrote the wrong one. Episode 29 is called A Doll Starting to Walk.
Which is a good title.
Good title.
God.
The narrator tells us that after her break with Fersen, Oscar is trying to change herself to be more like a man, no longer being a doll that decorates Versailles as the OP plays.
Is that what we thought Oscar was? A doll? I mean, the whole, like, it seems like there's, like, being in the military or the Royal Guard or whatever does not seem like a, you know, only on occasion are you, like, doing anything, like, working on a specific thing. It's kind of just standing around, and, like, the presence is the most important thing and not, like, what they're actually doing. So I can see it being more, like, just a, you know, I don't like, right? Like, there's not this much purpose, seemingly, for how much drive Oscar has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, people have always kind of regarded her as, like, a little oddity that's kind of fun. Like, they've always kind of been amused by the fact that she is a woman that's, like, has a man's job and dresses like a man and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they acknowledge that she's legit, right? Like, people respect her. Like, her authority or her abilities or whatever, but, like, it is still very much like a little, oh, it's like, oh yeah, this is the fun little thing. And, like, it harks back to what Jean was saying during the trial, where she's like, oh yeah, this is like, she's like Maria's little plaything that just, like, hangs out and does this thing. I mean, that's not totally off, but it's also like, I mean, Marie's also kind of a doll at Versailles, right? Like, she's the queen and does stuff. Yes. She also has to, like, perform and look good and do all this other stuff. I mean, they're kind of all like that there.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's like the whole, Versailles is, like, not doing the ideal thing. So it's easy to dismiss. Well,
it's
them.
All just facade there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Versailles, we cut to Versailles, where Oscar is assigned to be the commanding officer of French Guard Company B. Marie wrote this. Wrote that this was the only open position at the moment, but if Oscar wants something else, she'll find her another position. But Oscar is like, that's great. Yeah, love that. I'll just take this position. It's fine. The Royal Guard sees Oscar off. Ghirardel and some guards demand to know why she is resigning. They're like, is it something we did? Are you, like, mad at us? But she says no, and also provides no further information. She tells Ghirardel that he'll be in charge after her and then leaves. Oscar walks out to see Andre with her horse. They stare at each other as Andre remembers him assaulting her in the previous episode.
Oh my God.
Oscar mounts up and tells Andre, without looking at him, that until her new job starts, she's going to be staying at their villa in Normandy, and from now on, he is no longer to accompany her. She then adds that she is not angry about the other night, but also refuses to remember it. We get the rest of the assault scene again as Andre watches Oscar ride off.
Ugh.
So I guess that's how we're handling that. We're not going to process that either.
No. Nope. No.
We're just going to forget that it happened, says Oscar. And I'm sure she totally is going to forget that. I'm sure everybody here is not going to remember that moment. The most important moment.
Let it fester. Yeah.
God. In Normandy, the narrator tells us that Oscar is thinking about the different kinds of love. The love that Andre had for her was the same that she had for Fersen. Because of this, she knew that the best thing for Andre was to distance herself from him. Just how Fersen distanced himself from her.
Technically, this it's not the same because Andre actually knows you as a person. Yes. Like, instead of the, like, nothing is happening between us, Fersen, like, weird. I don't know. Why does she like him so much?
Why does she like Fersen?
Yeah.
Because he's charming? I don't know.
Find him very unlikable now. I was fooled by his pretty looks at first, but you know.
I was also a victim of Fersen. Yeah, no, it is not. They are not alike at all. Oscar did not grow up with Fersen to be his, like, right hand. Not the same, but she doesn't know that, I guess. And also, distancing himself didn't really work because as soon as he came back from the American Revolution, she fell right back into it, baby. Right back into place. At night, Andre goes and hangs out with the pirate man. We acknowledge him. They hang out. He's back here. Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Pirate is like, oh, hello, my fellow disabled comrade. I see that you're blind in one eye. I have a peg leg.
You also have an eye patch on, so I feel like that's also a common trait.
He comments that Andre seems to be having some love troubles. He says people see two types of light, physical light and the light of hope in other people's hearts. Eyes are nothing but an accessory. Andre, which one of those lights are you blind to, my boy? But Andre gets up and leaves as Mr. Pirate tells him to be happy. Instead of doing that, Andre goes to the bar to get drunk. Alon shows up and is like, oh, hey, man, let's go to a different bar. This one's super dead. But then one of his fellow soldiers is like, Alon, we got to go on patrol. And Alon is like, yeah, fine. And starts to leave. But Andre stops him and asks if he's in the French Guard. Alon's like, oh, yeah, man, I'm in Company B. And Andre is like, Company B. And then he asks him for a favor. We cut to the French Guard barracks. Oscar is there a day early to get a lay of the land. We meet Colonel D'Auguste, the lieutenant commander, who's an old-looking guy with a mustache who has basically no authority as far as I can tell.
Absolutely not.
Oscar asks to take a look at the troops' barracks. In the barracks, all the troops are hanging out. They get word that the commander is coming and try to scramble to become presentable. Oscar shows up and inspects the men. She introduces herself to them, but is surprised to see that Andre is among her troops. Later in her office, Oscar questions Andre as to why he's here. Why did you join the French Guard? And Andre says that, well, I'm allowed to do whatever I want, right? And I wanted to be here in the French Guards with my buddy Alon. Also, I'm the only one who could protect you, Oscar, which is a weird thing to say after what I did last episode, but I'm saying it out loud here. Oscar is like, yeah, whatever. Do whatever you want. Fine.
No, it's creepy. Like,
it's bad.
My God.
Vibes are bad. You've learned nothing, Andre. You're becoming like, this is too much, my man.
Ugh.
Ugh. Awful. While walking back, Andre hears the men gossip that Oscar is actually a woman. They're not going to take orders from a woman. Alon is like, yeah, this is certainly a weird situation, but doesn't really comment any further. In the dead of night, Alon wakes Andre up to go on patrol. They walk the wall, but Alon immediately takes a break because nothing happens at night. Alon's like, hey, Andre, you told me that you're a carpenter's son, but that's a total lie, isn't it? And Andre is like, But then Alon continues pulling out a knife, saying that he hates nobles, and Andre smells like a noble. Andre says that he's not a noble, and Alon's like, okay, then why'd the commander call you into her office, huh? Andre doesn't say anything, and Alon warns him that the company has many men who hate the nobles far more than him, so he should watch his back. At the Jarjay's estate, Granny asks Oscar where Andre is, and she tells him that he joined the French Guard, because apparently he didn't tell Granny about that. But also, don't worry, he's a man just like me. Says Oscar, so he'll be fine.
Ugh. Andre is like spiraling, like out of control. Like he's just not.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like thinking about the future at all.
No, he's just acting everybody is emotion. Spiraling.
Ugh.
Everybody is on one, and it's terrible.
Oh my God.
Oscar mounts up for the inaugural troop review. She gets to the grounds and sees that the men aren't there. Andre walks up and says the men are skipping the review because they don't want to take orders from a woman. Oscar goes to the troop barracks. She demands that the men go to the troop review right now. Alon tells her that the men aren't going to take orders from a woman. This company has a reputation of being rough. And Oscar is like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty used to roughness myself. And then she challenges them to send their best men to fight her 1v1 and leaves. The men elect Alon, but he refuses, being like, I don't really want to fight a woman. And also, I'm trying to be mysterious. So instead, it goes to some big dude.
Oh, God.
At the grounds, Oscar and this big dude are going to have a sword fight. Oscar says that if she loses, she'll resign. But if she wins, they have to do the troop review. The fight starts. The big guy is pretty good, but Oscar is better. She cuts him and wins. He's angry at his loss and tries to attack her from behind, or when her back is turned, but she strikes him with the butt of her sheath, totally owning him, and he falls. The other men are about to gang up on her, but Alon calls them off, saying that she won fair and square, so they're gonna do the troop review.
Can we talk about another just enormous man doing multiple flips in the air? Like,
dude, this guy is spry.
So acrobatic.
He does like a backflip. I was like, oh shit,
it's
this guy's
crazy.
Got moves.
Oh my it's God. Awesome. No one's doing this in real life. Crazy.
Maybe it's like this. Maybe the French Guard is like this.
Well, this is freaking the Black Knight. Like these literal like backflips in the air, but this guy did like two. It's crazy.
It's good.
Ugh.
Alon then reminds Oscar that they're not in the military to protect the nobles or the royal family. This is just a job to them. And then they all do the troop review. Back at the Georges.
Sorry, I was going to say, I mean, yes, it would be expected that these guys are like, ew, a woman. I'm not going to take orders from a woman. But also it's like absurd for Oscar to like come in unrequested and like expect them to, you know, like, oh, this is some noble that just like, I don't know, on a whim is changing to this. And so I don't know, I could see it being that is
that's
part
the
of
military
it.
Baby,
I guess so, but like, oh, I just get to request where I go, and you know, out of nowhere kind of. Yeah, it's ugh.
Yep. I mean, this is why they were fragging officers in the Vietnam War, because some guy shows up out of West Point and is like, I'm in charge of you guys, and then gets some of your buddies killed, and you're like, you're not in charge anymore.
Poor Joe's dying.
Back at the Georges, Granny informs Oscar that she has a guest. She goes to see who it is, and it's Ghirardelle, and she's like, oh, hey, Ghirardelle, what's up? How's the Royal Guard doing? But Ghirardelle's acting all weird and says he came to make a personal request of her father, and he's not going to stay long. And she's like, oh, but I thought you were waiting for me. And he's like, yes, but seeing your smile was enough for me today. And Oscar is like, okay. And then he walks off. She asks Granny what he wanted, and she tells her that Ghirardelle was asking permission to marry her, as we cut to credits.
Okay, this makes me so mad. Like, oh my God, Ghirardelle, you suck too. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh my God, you should know Oscar well enough, and yeah. Like, it's so disrespectful. Ew, gross. Ugh.
It's so funny that he used to be her subordinate and then gets promoted, and he's like, "Yeah, I could be your husband now."
Oh,
that seems reasonable.
God, it makes me so mad.
Oh, man. I do like seeing Oscar being good at sword fighting. I do like her owning this huge guy multiple times. That's good. What do we think's going on with Alon?
Maybe he's a part of maybe he gets recruited for the revolution. I don't know. I think he's just they have to have some distinct character within the French Guard. They can't all just be blobby brutes.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because he is like much more of a savvy operator, right? He's like, yeah, taking orders from a woman, that's not great. The boys aren't happy about that. But then it's like, I don't know if he really cares about that all that much. Because as soon as she wins, he's like, I mean, she won.
I'm assuming he has some agenda we don't know about. And so that's why he's dismissive, because this is like being in the French Guard is not his main priority. And it's just like a step to get to something else, maybe.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Know. Yep.
I'm interested to see what he's got
going on. Super distinct. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The cleft chin.
He has got a distinct look to him.
Yep.
Any more thoughts about this episode?
Yeah, we need more brown eyes. The color of brown eyes they have in this are very nice. And we just, everyone has like not brown eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, just the anger towards dudes. Just
anger
like
towards dudes, this, no, you know, one's processing.
That no Oscar and know how Oscar would feel about this and is doing it regardless is so disrespectful. Ultimate betrayal by Ghirardelli pissed me off.
We're all men now. That we're all doing bad. The manly thing of not thinking about our emotions or other people's. Just all domination.
Mm-hmm.
All force. No feeling.
Yeah.
All right. Episode 30 is called You Are the Light and I Am the Shadow. We open on a recap of the Ghirardelli events of last episode. Oscar returns to her room and is like, I can't marry Ghirardelli? Me? She laughs at herself in the mirror as the OP plays in a way that reminds me of like Charlotte laughing or Polignac laughing.
Your marbles a little.
Real reaching my breaking point here.
Yes.
When we get back, we cut to General Georges talking to General Boyle about Oscar. I don't know how to say that. I'm going to say it like that. Notably, the general now refers to Oscar as his daughter instead of as his son, which he has been pretty consistent up to this point.
Yeah, it sucks too. Men suck now. We hate them.
Boyle tells General Georges that the troops are complaining about having to take orders from a woman. He knows that Oscar is a good commander, but the men's morale is a problem. General Georges cuts him off, saying that he is trying to get her to retire from the military and get married. So all of this will just work itself out.
I am losing my mind. Like, friggin' selfish man. Just terrible father. Just like on a whim. Just robbing his child of a clear identity. And then like, oh, I want you to be this. Now I'm going to change my mind and I expect you to just change everything that I've taught you to be because I'm now being stupid. General Charizard sucks. Boo, boo, boo. Oscar just needs to be like cut loose and move to a different country or something. Ugh, making me mad. Joe is feeling unwell. I'm killing time here.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have some thoughts about General Georges at the end of this.
Yep.
Later, we see a carriage where with some men on horseback pursuing them. We learn that one of them is named Saint-Just. And remember that name because he's going to be important. That guy has a Wikipedia page. Saint-Just asks if the carriage is carrying the treasury secretary, and it is, and the guy inside is like, yes, I'm the treasury secretary. And Saint-Just says he has come to kill him and stabs him through the roof of the carriage, which is awesome.
Shall I take over? Let me pretend to be the one who wrote all these extensive notes and read them.
Do you want to try some? Yeah, go ahead and try some while I'm trying not to cough into the mic.
Did you finish? Okay. Yep. Okay. Late. Okay, I'm going to say it different from you. Later, Saint-Just is called into a meeting.
Saint-Just! Okay, yeah, Saint-Just. Tell me what Saint-Just is doing.
Saint-Just or whatever.
Saint-Just
is called into a meeting with Robespierre. Robespierre is like, hey, did you kill that guy? You're not supposed to kill these guys. We're just petitioning him. And Saint-Just is like, so what if I killed him? They're the enemy, right? But Robespierre says that his methods are too extreme. God.
I gave you such a good one.
Just starts to leave him. But he tells Bernard, who's also there, that maybe the Black Knight should help them out sometime. At the French Guard barracks, Oscar is doing roll call for today's patrol. They head out, but Ghirardelli freaking sees Oscar right before she's about to go. He's like, sorry, I had to leave yesterday. I'd like to visit you tonight. And Oscar lies because she doesn't want to see this bastard and says duty tonight and then leaves. Ghirardelli wishes his dear Oscar a safe patrol. Shut up,
it's
Ghirardelli.
Brutal. It's so hard to watch.
Piece of shit.
It's terrible.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Remember when she kicked his ass at the first episode?
Yeah. This. How dare he? He's barely been around and now he thinks he can be main character by like.
I think this is good. Ugh. I like how as soon as Oscar is like, I'm going to be a man, and all the men decide that she's going to be a woman, they all just start treating it like shit.
Don't, well, and she didn't think that. Ah, dopeheads. It's like no one has respected you up to this point. They've just all been hanging around hoping that at some point your father is going to make you do this. And upsetting. Also, I feel like Oscar is like, at this point, like, spinster status. She's like over 30. Like, having birth at this point would be dangerous for her. And I'm, if anyone marries her, they're going to expect that. And, ah.
I don't think it would be. Okay. I think it's always dangerous for everybody at this point.
Okay, yes, because I was listening to this podcast and you're talking about how basically, like, we've evolved, like, in a way that has made it more difficult for us to, like, than it should be to give birth and... Like, maybe we just shouldn't. We're not set up maybe for success in that regard. Maybe we just shouldn't. Yeah. Just give it up. Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. You want me to go back to...
No. I'm doing a terrible job inserting my opinions into this.
No, it's fine. You can keep going. Keep going.
Okay. Okay. While patrolling the streets, Alon, that's what you were saying. Alon warns Andre that the men know he was a servant of Oscar's and suspect him as a spy. Watch your back, Oscar. Keep an eye out.
Now watch your back, Andre.
Fuck. Watch your back, Andre. Also, Oscar, you should also, because everyone's out to get you. So he's like, I don't know if he's just trying to like curry favor with Andre and like establish like, hey, I'm on your side, but maybe he's actually the one who's telling them to do this stuff. I don't know.
Alon likes Andre, but he's a little bit suspicious of him, but he's not like gonna do anything, you know what I mean? He's just trying to be like, what's up with this dude, what's going on?
Yeah,
and he's gonna find out.
Let's see, we cut to the opera where he just murders another noble. Oscar gets the news and tells her men to move out, but they don't care at all and refuse to go. Just let the military police handle it. Later, Oscar rides home. Granny tells her that her father is waiting for her. She demands that he refuse Girardelle's marriage proposal. She doesn't want to get married. The general is like, calm down. Let's just talk about it. I heard things are rough in the French guard. Oscar is super downplaying it. Kind of like, oh, yeah, they're definitely... hazing me, but honestly it's more motivating than anything, way more interesting than the royal guards. So she's like very aware of what he's going to try to do here and is like trying to pass it off like this isn't that much of a big deal. Like, leave it's me alone, dad. Oh gosh. Suddenly General Darje starts apologizing to Oscar for raising her as a man. He truly wishes for her happiness, but made her endure undue hardships. Oscar's like, it's cool. I didn't abandon my womanhood as much as you think. I even fell in love once. But in her dad's eyes bug out.
He's like, what?
Yes, but now I'm ready to leave that behind and be a man full time. The general is like, don't say such sad things like that, even though I'm the one who asked you to do that. Now just changing my mind. I want you to have time to be my beautiful daughter. It doesn't have to be Girardelle. We'll find you. However, we'll find, basically we'll find whatever guy you want. We'll make it happen. Whoever you fancy. Meanwhile, Oscar has taken a rose, gathered its petals and blown them away. Basically being like, here's my womanhood. Go away.
There it is.
I'm a dude now.
There's me, the rose. Gone. Yep. Scattered to the wind.
Yep. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You want to take over?
Okay.
Okay, I have my fun. Yeah. Go ahead.
Interesting. At the barracks, Granny goes to see Oscar. Or, God, I messed it up immediately. Granny goes to see Andre.
Sorry.
She's brought him some new clothes. And then she's like, hey, are you coming back during your leave, right? And he's like, yeah. And then she decides to tell him that there's buzz about the manor, that Oscar is going to get married, and Andre is stunned. She leaves, and Andre runs back to the barracks, but finds some fellow guards waiting for him. They're like, hey, man, I heard you were a servant for the commander. We hate people who serve the nobles as their lapdogs. And then they accuse him of being a spy. They drag him to a storeroom and beat him up. He said, you know what? I'm here to fight. I've got some stress to work on. Some stuff just happened to me. They get into a brawl, but it's like a 5v1, so Andre gets pretty messed up. But he does do pretty well, all things considered, in this fight. Eventually, they knock him out and leave, but they run into Alon on the way out. Alon's like, hey man, why are you fighting without my permission? And also, like a 5v1, that hardly seems fair. And he tells them to remember that he likes this guy. And he says all of this while, like, brandishing a knife like he's going to kill them.
Alon goes to see Andre. Why would he have said this before? Like,
oh, yeah.
Why? You know, I guess he's, I don't know. I feel like he's just trying to get on Andre's good side for a reason. Like, maybe he's going to try and bring Andre over to their side. Like, look how much more I've helped you than Oscar has or something.
Maybe. Alon goes to see Andre, who's crying out for Oscar. Alon turns to see Oscar in the doorway and is like, oh, you're in love with her. Oh, that's what's going on. He tells Oscar to take care of him and leaves. He's like, Andre, I can't. Why are you into like the manly women? What is happening? All right. That evening, Ghirardelle is waiting for Oscar so he can escort her home. They ride together as Ghirardelle tries to give an explanation for why he wants to marry her. He tells her that he misses her and loves her, but it does not seem particularly confident or real. He's just kind of saying this stuff. Oscar, this entire time, has said nothing. Ghirardelle then says that if he wasn't born a noble, that he would gladly have been her servant or her stable hand, you know, like some other guy who might have done that. Oscar says that as nobles, they shouldn't speak that way about servants, and then rides off.
Get the picture, dude.
We cut to General Jarjay is telling Oscar that his buddy General Buell is going to host a ball for her to meet more suitors than just Ghirardelle. She must attend dressed as a woman. Oscar just plays piano the entire time instead of saying anything. We cut to General Jarjay's and General Buell in a carriage together. They're attacked by Saint-Just. I did it because you said it. Saint-Just. They're attacked by Saint-Just. I called it Stain-Just here. I didn't even write it right. He's trying to kill General Buell. They kill the drivers, and Saint-Just fires the gun into the carriage, but it hits General Jarjay's instead. We see Oscar ride to Versailles to see her father in a sickbed. Granny tells her that the bullet missed his heart, so he should be okay. Oscar collapses, and Andre hands her a handkerchief, because they're all there together.
Remember when Oscar had a mom? Like, I would think that when her dad is shot, his wife would come see him.
Remember when she had a mom and then she couldn't be a plot point anymore?
She did it and then she did and now she's gone again.
Oh, my God. Later, General Jarjay's laughs that they must have mistaken him for the other guy. Oscar says that she will catch these men who did this to him. But the general says that instead, she should get married to make him happy. Go to the ball, Oscar. Hey, Andre, you should go to the ball with her. It'll be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see her all dolled up. Isn't that right, bud? And Andre's like, yeah, okay. Later, Andre goes to Oscar's office and tells her that they need to get ready for the ball. She's like, we got time. And he's like, we don't. You have to, like, go and get changed and stuff. But she tells him that he doesn't need to escort her. But Andre insists. He's like, I told your dad I would escort you. And she tells him not to come and leaves, but tells him on the way out that she won't be married off so easily. We cut to the ball with lots of men there waiting to court Oscar, including Ghirardelle, who's also here. But I'm going to be honest, man, I don't think you got a good shot at this.
No.
Oscar shows up in her full military uniform and Ghirardelle sees her and is like, oh, I see what's going to happen. The men are all shocked. Oscar makes a big production of saying, oh, that's weird. We got a ball, but it's all dudes here. There's no women here at all. Man, that's weird. I guess I'm out of place. I'm gonna leave. And then leaves. Ghirardelle is like, yep, that's peak Oscar, and then toasts to her. Later, Andre tells General Jarjais what happened. He accepts it, saying he won't say anything more. All he hopes is that for his daughter to never stop searching for her happiness as we cut to credits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Okay. Okay. So now we've done the thing. No one can be like trying to tell Oscar what to do after this. So, but this is very annoying with her dad to watch. Like,
I mean, I do feel like out of all of the guys, General Jarjais comes out the best out of these episodes. Because basically he's like, oh, I haven't been doing my fatherly duty to Oscar. I like force her to be a man. I'm just going to do the thing I did for all my other daughters and like set them up. That's what I have to do. I'm sorry, Oscar. I like made your life complicated. I'm going to do it. And then he like doesn't really listen to her because he's the father figure. It's patriarchal and you never listen to women. And then she does this. And at the end, he's like, OK, I'm just going to back off. You know what? It's fine. I just want my daughter to be happy. I'm just going to not do anything. And I think out of all of the men in this episodes, he is the only one who learns something and is the only one who backs off. That's and I feel true. Like if he continues to be backed off, then he comes across the best out of all of these.
Yeah. I really wish we had gotten to see, because basically we saw the birth of Oscar, his declaration, and then we cut to Oscar being like 16 or 17 or something.
Yeah.
And like, we don't get to see like how he's drilling this into her identity and like, what did he say that stayed with her that made her determined to be like this? And, you know, this that's like, you know, makes it harder to see why Oscar has been so devoted to this. And
yeah, I mean, like, unlike Oscar, I think General Jarjais really doesn't question like the societal norms and practices and stuff like that. So when she leaves to join the French Guard, he's like, why would she do that? Oh my God, I messed up her whole life by making her do this. I need to try to correct it. Which feels a little bit, you know, like that makes sense to me, even though it's like, I mean, I think you should just listen. You can talk to her. You can just get her opinion on things. You don't have to like try to do things for her. But I guess you do in this society. That's the patriarchy, baby. Patriarchy bad. At least he backs off.
Yeah, I really wish we could have seen. Right. I really wish we'd seen more of the childhood, because we didn't get to see her sisters and like, how did she feel being treated differently from her sisters? How did they view her? Did they like kind of resent she was being treated differently, or were they, you know, took pity, you know, like a lot of context lost on what shaped Oscar to be like this.
Yeah. Ah. I want to talk about Ghirardelle for a second, because this guy is the most like he's doing this proposal, and I wonder if General Jarjais has told him to do this, or if he's doing this, because he seems to know it's not going to work the whole time.
I mean, right? He's from a noble family. Maybe his own family was like, that's get true. On that or something.
Yeah, that could also be it. They're probably like, oh, Ghirardelle, you talk about this woman all the time that you really respect. You should just marry her. She's not your boss anymore, so you can do that. And he's like, okay. Because the whole time he's like, you know, he's definitely performing. Like, I see the Ghirardelle performance and being like, oh, I'll call you my Oscar and I'll be, oh, your smile is good enough for me. But like, he knows it's not working. When he does this thing where he escorts her home and talks about how much he loves her, he's like saying it very unsure of himself.
Mm, yeah.
And then when he goes to this, to the ball or whatever, and sees her in the uniform, he's like, oh yeah, no, this was never gonna work.
Yeah, the number of dudes showing up to that is also making me mad, because it's like, so what? Everyone was just like playing along with her little I'm a guy bit, waiting for the moment when she was up on the market for the taking. Like, did no one respect her this whole time? Like, what?
Dude, yeah, that's true. But also, I'm like, if I knew Oscar, and all of a sudden it's like, we're going to have a ball for her to meet suitors, I would go to that. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm not going to try to court her. I feel like that's a disaster. Yeah. But you got to go.
Yeah, that's
I got to see what's up. I got to talk to her and be like, yo, what's happening? But no, I think a lot of them are trying to actually court Oscar. Weird. I mean, the Jarjais are like a fairly prominent noble family, probably, right?
Yeah.
So it's a good catch.
I,
w-
I wonder if all the ladies of court are devastated. Like, no, our Oscar. Don't take her away.
Yeah. Andre gets beat up in this episode.
Yeah. He kind of deserves it.
He kind of deserves it.
Karma.
I do like how Alon is like, oh, you're in love with her. And she's, and like, this is really weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right.
I don't know. Oscar just doesn't acknowledge how much people are like going against her wishes by desiring her like this, but making me mad for her. She's very clearly stated how she wants to be treated, and no one's treating her that way, or at least not genuinely.
Mm-hmm. Ah. I mean, like, I do like the fact that she is just trying to like run away from her emotions by doing this thing, I think is bad, but also the fact that nobody is respecting her wishes at all is like a totally different problem.
Yeah.
That needs to be addressed in some way.
You're not confronting them about it, that they're not learning. You're just letting them feel that way.
So what do we think about this, like, as a turn away from being in Versailles, being with the French Guard?
Good. We don't have to see Marie Antoinette as much anymore.
I mean, the thing is, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, hopefully it just, the exposure to common people more will just open Oscar's eyes. And like, now she doesn't have like the obligation to take the side of Versailles. And hopefully this just like separates her more. And maybe we do get to see Oscar lean more towards the revolution. But I guess we'll see. Right? This is the resolution. Well, no, that's not true. Oscar or Andre's still going to be freaking hanging around her, but hopefully this lightens the load of responsibility for the noble part of her, and she can just focus on the justice.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing about this is, you know, obviously blowing up, getting your life blown up because you are have like a falling out with all of your stuff is bad, but joining the French Guard and not being in the Royal Guard is probably the best thing that's happened to Oscar's chances of survival. Because let me tell you, I'm, you know, listening to those that revolution podcast. The people that are defecting to the revolution is mostly the French Guard. Those guys defect at large numbers. And it seems like Company B, based on who's in it, is definitely going to. Mm. Now, that can be either good or bad, right? If she can make it good with these guys in time for that, maybe she'll go with them. If she doesn't, they might just turn and kill her.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. It should be a much more like history focused series moving forward on like events and where Oscar finds herself in the mix.
Yep. Episode 32 is called Prelude to the Storm, which I feel like is we're in it. Where it's happening.
It's going down. And now we know because in the accidental viewing of episode 34, I saw Oscar had been in a blue outfit. And now we know why. Because the French Guard get up.
Yeah, she got a new outfit. She's blue now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So here we go. It's happening. Where will Oscar be when the revolution comes? When she says her loyalty to Marie will not fade, is that true? Mm-hmm. I really hope it's not true, because that's bad if it is.
I hope we get to see more Rosalie and
Bernard.
What's his face? Yeah, Bernard.
That's true. We didn't see Rosalie, but we saw Bernard.
Yeah.
Having those guys be the bad guys. What do we think about that?
At least they're not so bad as St. Just, you know, he's very clearly like not doing, you know, like well for the reputation of the revolution, because they want to approach it with like a sense of justice and reason. And he's just ruining that for them. So is he going to like, what's going to play out with that?
Yeah. Even Robespierre is like, there's something wrong with that guy.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's very. Sadly, we don't get to see much of them. We just see like the passage of time, and then they've changed a lot, but we don't get to see like what made them change as much. But maybe we'll get to learn more about them moving forward.
Yeah. I will say the scene where he shoots General Jarjays and then jumps into the lake is very cool. Like they did it like a slow-mo
very slow-mo
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, is he going to jump into the water? And then he does. And I'm like, yeah, this guy knows how to assassinate someone. The wrong guy. And also he doesn't kill him. So not really, but performance wise.
Yeah. What did they do? Like a blow dart on this?
Yeah, it's like a little tiny crossbow. Like a little handheld size one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. And they both just. Yeah. I wonder how like soundproof the carriages are. Like so that discussions in there aren't being heard by the drivers, and then also if something happens to the drivers, they don't hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the driver, because like the horses clopping along is pretty loud. Yeah. So like unless you might hear them slump over or something, but by then it's probably too late.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm right, because does the Roy or the I guess everyone's starting to wield guns now. We don't really see Oscar use a gun ever. Like we've seen her practice with them, but she doesn't carry one. Seemingly,
I think she does have one. She's an officer, so I think she might have like a pistol.
Yeah, because and we don't get to see like because Oscar's very like, you know, and that's the whole thing, right? Of like why wars started having higher casualties, because with weapons, you don't have to look into your opponent's eye as they die. And so I wonder how she feels about that becoming more of the like method of war rather than, you know, having to face your opponent and like the best man wins kind of thing. Like I feel like she would have strong feelings about it. No, well, that's also true. Also, right, she's now going to be in a role where she sees the worst of it rather than like just the idealized
oh yeah, none of position. These guys are fighting, none of the people that there care about honor. It's not about that. What are you talking about? You're talking about honor? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out from here.
Yup.
Oh, man. Well, on the theme of honor, if you truly are honorable and have been listening to us for this long.
Honor us by giving us 5 stars.
Yep. Seamless
segue. Leave comments. Talk to it. Come talk to us.
We want to hear from you. Make this more fun for us, or like make our heads get big thinking people are listening to us. By
pump our egos up. That's what we need.
Yeah,
we need a bigger ego. I'm always saying this to myself.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'd probably buy more crap before the tariffs happen if I had a bigger ego.
Yeah, well, like, do you guys agree with us? Are we being too
maybe we're like wrong? Maybe the French Revolution just won't happen, and this is like a not historical thing at all. But like, actually, Joe, the French Revolution doesn't happen in the Rose of Versailles.
This show's really going to throw
instead,
us off.
King Louis just solves the debt crisis. They push through it. They post through it. He just posts a lot, and it's solved. He enacts tariffs, and everything's fixed. It definitely doesn't wreck the entire economy.
Oh, Joseph's the little brat, right? Yeah. Why? You spend all your time with your mother, and yet, what, you're just already in the mindset of, like, I don't value women, so I'm going to call out for my piece of shit father who probably doesn't do anything instead of my mom. Ugh.
Yep.
And that's why he's going to die. Small child at the age of 9.
Yeah, he dies of a sickness, but...
Okay. Sorry, we're getting back into the show and we're wrapping it up.
Yeah. Remember, geez, what a god, so much stuff happens. Don't assault people, don't get drunk and assault women. That one goes without saying.
Yeah.
If you get promoted.
Oh god. Yep.
If your boss resigns to take a new job somewhere else and you get promoted, that is not the opportunity to ask her to marry you. That's not going to work, my dude.
Don't, like, please continue to, like, don't pretend to understand and respect someone's boundaries that they've set up as their identity and don't want Frost. You know, like, respect who they are and what they want for themselves, and don't just, like, try to push an agenda on them because you've suddenly changed your mind on things or like never respected them in the first place. And now you have the opportunity to strike. Don't do that.
Men can also think about their emotions and romance and love. You can process stuff. You can think about these things. You don't have to pretend like they don't exist.
Yep.
If you're going to join the French Guard, learn how to do a backflip. It's very important that you can do a backflip on command.
Oh, man. When did the Olympics start? I'm surprised France isn't dominating. Okay, I was going to say, I'm surprised France isn't dominating gymnastics with the ancestry they have.
There is an 1896 Summer Olympics.
Okay.
That's the first one.
Well, I guess that's today's episode.
They had like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They had 10 events.
Back then?
Yeah.
How many do we have now?
Oh, wait, no, they had some more. They had tennis also, but... Oh, no, that's one of them. They have, like, a bunch now. I don't know. What? Number of Olympic events.
This is, like, what happened with Oscar is, like, how when I was in paintball and I was the only chick on the team, that, and I didn't know this at the time, but that my freshman year, there's, like, a bet to see who would date me, and a bunch of them had, like, chipped in some gear as like a prize for everyone.
That happened?
Yes.
Oh my god.
This is it happens to this day.
Oh.
Dude's just assuming, even if you know, like I should have been more mad at them at the time. I just kind of laughed it off, and I did end up dating someone who was on the team, but they weren't there the first year, so technically he was not a part of that.
There you go.
Yeah.
The first Olympics, there were 9 sports and no, there were 10 disciplines and 43 events. In the current, this is the Summer Olympics. In the current Summer Olympics, there are 329 medal events.
Good Lord.
So we found some new ones.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just much more passionate about these. You grow up and you're just like, la-di-da, and then freaking you encounter the world and you're like, oh damn, freaking that sucks,
and you're like, I don't know if I like this,
and you just have to grow as a person until you feel like strong enough in your identity, I guess, to stand up for things or like voice your opinions. This hopefully Oscar will stand up for her beliefs soon.
Hopefully. We'll see how it goes for her.
Well, okay. Wrapping things up.
Hopefully we'll be better episode. Next time and not sickly.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Thanks for bearing with us.
Yes. And thanks. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It means a lot to us because we really have fun doing this. And hopefully you guys have fun listening. And we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Goodbye. Thank you.